السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
Hey dad.
الله يحييك، كيفك يا بابا؟
الحمد لله good. How are you?
الحمد لله الحمد لله.
We caused a stir, a ruckus, if you will.
You caused a stir.
Did I?
I don't know.
I am my father's daughter.
Tell me, what is it?
Two things: the therapy,
huh,
and the four wives, which I think we should touch on just to elaborate further. Even though you made a really good point. You said the people who watched the full episode didn't really comment on it, but the people who just saw the clip on Instagram that's so out of context had a lot to say about it, which is very interesting. I think it's the difference between intellectual conversation and ADHD. Intellectual people will go sit and spare the hour or two or three to watch a full episode of something.
Yeah, it is supposed to trigger your interest. So you go maybe do the grand sin and research.
Oh.
And maybe go look for the whole thing and listen to it.
Yeah.
By no means I have gone into this path because I want to stir polarity and turn people against each other. My intention and your intention from the very beginning is, and it was clearly made between us,
mm-hmm,
is to try to bring people together. It's sometimes the act of triggering the process of thinking, the intellectual sequential process,
yeah,
can be very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable for people who have not engaged in it.
Yeah.
I saw the comments from those who watched the whole episode. And
are we starting with therapy or four wives?
Both. None of those two points was pinpointed it didn't create any kickback in the span of the 1 hour episode.
Yes, but as out of context, just 30-second clips.
Yeah, because people are ready to be triggered.
Yeah.
They are already polarized.
They're also ready to take everything so personally. It's this disease of what about me, what about me, what about this, what about that. You can speak about something very specific in a very specific context, and then they'll come out with, but what about me who doesn't like what you're suggesting? I don't care.
You
go
can do
something else. By the way, the unfollow button is free and Google is for free.
Yeah. You at the end of the day, everybody can do
what
you want. You can choose to go to therapy or not to go to therapy. You can choose to believe in this faith or that faith.
So the therapy thing, I feel like I really need to reemphasize. I really do. Because you can attack me day and night and say, but therapy worked for you. Sure, I don't care. I am very anti-therapy because of the curriculum and the modulus on which it is based on. Number one, it's based on pharmaceutical drugs. They will push you to start taking psychological drugs. It's the gateway to that. Do you know what I mean? Number two is that they want to give you a disease just to make you more different and harder to blend into society, which is what we emphasized last time. If suddenly they tell you, oh no, the reason why you are the way you are is because you're bipolar, or the reason you are the way you are is because you suffer from deep depression, and then that automatically puts you in a box where you think you're so different and people don't understand you, and then you're ruminating in the mess of your disease.
You see, the thing is, I wouldn't call it a good thing being turned into a bad thing.
What do you mean? Oh, I don't think it started off as a good thing at all.
I don't think it started as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough that the father of it is
Sigmund Freud?
Yeah, a very questionable figure. Very, very
Beyond questionable.
And let go of that. The thing is, most of the time, this is a process of validation, rather than help and actual change.
What say you, because this is something I really wanted to touch on, what say you to the people who commented, but Islam, we have like Islamic psychology and Islamic ways to deal with the mind, and that the first mental asylum was in an Islamic country.
You see, people get sick and people can have some serious mental issues.
Absolutely.
And there were asylums, and there were still among us people that suffer from severe
psychological issues.
We are by no means negating that or mm-hmm. asking to ignore those and not to give them care or not to look after them.
We're talking about everyday therapy.
I am talking about allowing such a tool to become almost a form of faith, where it's not negotiable, not subject to even the propping of a proper eye, like all other things, they might have good effects and bad effects. I don't like it. I see the damaging effect of
100%.
But please go ahead and spend the rest of your life in psychotherapy. Who
100%.
Who will stop you?
My friend Colin said something and I was like, you sound just like Baba. And it's I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I think I am. I think he gave me permission once to, I didn't share the video because we want to keep that private. But basically Colin took his shahada with me, which was insane. And Colin is this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful man who lives in Canada. He's half Portuguese, half Canadian, discovered my podcast, was already looking into Islam, I believe, when he discovered my podcast. And subhanAllah, he, through the podcast and his own research, he was like, I'm ready to take my shahada, which was just a very beautiful moment. We got on a video call and I have a screen recording of that video call, but that's private just for the three of us, because you have that video too. But he messaged me and he was saying, it's interesting because I'll talk to people and they'll say, oh, I've been in therapy for years. And he'll be like, so it's not working.
How dare you say so?
And I was like, you sound just like Baba, because Baba, so you say the same thing.
But how dare you say so? It's like.
But they'll justify it with these weird explanations. Like, no, as I'm evolving and going through different experiences, my therapist is helping me navigate these different experiences. I'm like, so it's a cult leader.
That's exactly what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say, there is not a very benign motive behind the whole addiction to it.
I agree.
And normalizing it as if it is something that everybody should do, especially the men, because they need to soften this and soak this and eliminate this.
All right, I'm ready.
No. We need to go back to nature. We need to go back to the nature of whom we are. Yes, please.
Okay. Women, I am convinced, are their own worst enemy. Khalas, I rest my case. I am convinced. Because when I said, in general, men don't need therapy, because in general, to paint men with a brush of viciousness, aggressive, unstable, this is a dangerous thing to say, Layla, to say that men don't need therapy, because I don't want to label them as coming out of the womb wrong. خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. Most of us are born not wrong. Okay, what is more dangerous than these women painting men with the brush of, no, but they're aggressive, no, but they're unstable, no, but they need therapy, no, but men without therapy become dangerous creatures? That's not dangerous. But me saying in general men don't need therapy
is dangerous.
Is very dangerous. How dare you?
Feminizing men to the point that they are puppets for women. You know, by the nature of women, they don't like that. That, no wonder. You rarely find happy couples.
There's a video, can I tell you? Adham sent it to me. There's this video of this girl. She's making a comedy sketch. And she's basically, she's like in the kitchen with her mug of coffee. And she's cosplaying in front of her as a man who just came home from work, okay? It's he playing both characters. And then she just goes like, oh, babe, what's wrong? And he's like, nothing, I just had a long day, blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, tell me, I'm here for you. You can talk to me. He's like, no, I'm good, like I can handle it. She's like, babe, I'm here for you, like whatever you need to say. So he starts going like, yeah, when I was younger, this happened and it triggered. And you just, it flashes back to the girl with the coffee. And then it's her voice over in her head. Damn, he really is gay. because this is how girls are. Talk to me, talk to me. But the second he'll open up or show weakness or emotion, you're going to be
done. He's done. You women are allergic to our weaknesses.
You women
tell me, talk
intense.
To me, don't hide any secrets from me. I don't share what goes in my head and my brain. I don't share my plans.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, I have respect for your emotions. Mm-hmm. I do not need to come and trigger your anxiety.
Yeah.
Second,
it does trigger anxiety. I understand what you see, what you're saying, because women tend to go to like worst case solution in their mind.
Second, I don't need worst emotional validation. I actually don't.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you a very simple thing that happened yesterday today.
Are we going to discuss the panic attack?
No.
Not mine. You know what I'm talking about, the vibration plate?
No, something close to that.
Okay.
You know, you deal with someone dear to your heart, and for days this person is a bit upset, a bit angry, a bit depressed, and you're just maintaining the same kind of kindness, understanding, but not allowing yourself to go and validate such negative feelings from the other side.
Okay.
Suddenly the same person is so happy, excited, and telling you, thank you, you made me happy.
Yeah.
I was about to say, well, I did nothing. Because I just allow you to go through this, to the episode of your whatever feelings you had. I just allowed it. I didn't negate it. I didn't attack it. I did not try to change it. I just did what I do best. Try my best to create around you the atmosphere that allows you to find your happiness. But I cannot find it for you.
Yeah, of course.
See, this is something that you know, the idea that we have kind of contracted our feelings and our happiness to somebody else, and now he's responsible of generating it to me.
Yeah.
Look at most of the couples I have seen and I lived with and I worked with, and they're always blaming the other for their misery.
Yeah, of course, such is life.
While it is and you know, poor things, both of them are trying, but they are both of them are actually making each other more miserable.
Yeah,
by this
course.
Continuous attack, by this continuous blame, by the lack of understanding whom they are and what the other person wants from them.
Yeah.
Women do not want feminine men.
No.
And we do not want...
But women don't realize that by asking a man for no reason, just for having feelings, go to therapy, they don't realize that makes him a feminine man. They've confused it and they'll be like, no, that makes him a healthy man. He's in touch with his emotions.
The other thing, most women think we want what they want.
Yeah, I know.
Like I rarely find a woman who's aware of what the man wants.
I stand by my statement that men shouldn't go to therapy. Number one, especially in the Muslim region, why are we basing our therapy and what goes into our minds and what we deem as healthy, as psychologically benefiting us, from a curriculum that was made by the West, by the way, to the detriment of the West? And then when we are so quick to label, Layla, no, this is such a dangerous sentiment. Men are unstable, men are aggressive, then... To me, it's this insane thing. So it's so interesting. I had a Palestinian, she's Jordanian, but we're Jordanian-Palestinian, activist, just a couple dozen thousand followers on Instagram, comment ridiculous on following. How can you defend Palestinian men and therapy in the same breath? Do you know how? When you don't even realize what you're saying and what you're defending. These people that claim men need to go to therapy and men need to go to therapy, it makes it that much easier to paint Palestinian men as unstable, as aggressive, as needing help, as born out of the womb, something's wrong with them. And if they don't get therapy, oh, they're gonna be really dangerous to society. And the therapy is made by who? And for who? And to the benefit of who and to the detriment of who? It is not a curriculum that was made for us, for our religion, for our standards, for our values. It has nothing to do with us. But you want to talk about Islamic psychology? We have books and we have ways to benefit our society and our men and our women. And they're not the go pay a therapist $200 an hour. Islamic psychology has nothing to do with modern day therapy. Nothing.
I don't know if I can call it Islamic psychology. Now,
if they want to call it Islamic psychology, yes, in Islam, we are the most perfect religion. You think God hasn't given us ways to manage depression, to manage sadness, to manage not validating unnecessary feelings? Of course he has. You want to call it Islamic psychology? Sure. You want to call it... I had someone DM me, ya baba, wallah. I didn't send it to you because I knew how upset you'd be. But someone sent me, like, when the Prophet was suicidal, he spoke to his friends.
That's
insane.
That's insane.
Now you want to paint that our Prophet had psychological issues and he went to therapy with his buddies. Naam, antun habaltu.
That's insane.
Lost the plot.
Absolutely.
Bu'idtu li utammim makarim al-akhlaq. And what's the thing where Allah Jalla Jalalatuh says rahmatan lil-alamin. What's the word before it?
Bu'athna.
بعتناك رحمة. What's the saying?
اللهم صل.
أنزلناك رحمة للعالمين. أنزلناك.
لا يا.
بعثت. بعثت. لا بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. I'm gonna Google this because there's a word and I used to know it. استنى العربية رحمة للعالم. One second. In a momento, where is this quote? قلت لك وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. There we go. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. And we didn't send you except as a mercy to the world. You think the mercy that he sent to the world is a man who's suicidal?
The thing, there is no religion. There is no godly religion that did not come with a full program of how to
deal with everything
and alter the human psyche into the path of correction. Now, to accuse that each and every man, to say that each and every man is aggressive by his nature, well, the same can apply on women. Men can be very aggressive, but women can be very vicious too.
Absolutely.
And you can see men have their own type of crimes. They're known to for physical crimes. Women have different types of crimes.
Absolutely.
And they're vicious.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to, if you don't know, just go and research. None of the two gender is
exempt from
exempted.
Yeah.
And those spiritual paths, mm-hmm. be it Islam, be it Christianity, mm-hmm. be it Buddhism, be it Hinduism, be any religion with a spiritual path, came to modify and lead the human.
Guide, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that, if that is not psychological work, what is psychology?
Good point, Hari. Well said.
So if you see, we are not saying that you shouldn't do psychological work. Do it, but do it the right way.
Absolutely.
And if somebody is in need for so-called psychological help, fine, but do not allow it to become your religion.
Yeah.
It's not.
But I think it's important to preface, women don't even realize how dangerous they've become, especially when it comes to the topic of men.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's how a drowning person starts to react just before falling into the water.
So I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. And I mentioned this to you in passing yesterday, but I told you I wanted us to discuss it today. Bismillah. So Cristiano Ronaldo had an interview with Piers Morgan. Tamam?
Uh-huh.
In said interview, he was asked, what is it that you love about Georgina? And his answer was a very simple answer that I found beautiful. She takes care of me. She takes care of the kids. She makes the house a home. Yet she has a great body and all of that stuff that I like, yes, but it's how she takes care of me. Very simple, very beautiful, very sweet answer. And lo and behold, the comments of the female rage and jealousy and envy. May this love never find me. All he talked about was what she did for him, nothing about her. Okay, yeah, her body, but what about her ambition, her discipline, her how smart she is, how whatever? And I was like, hold the door. Wait. Let's say there's a man in the street now, okay? And I'm like, wow, he's so smart, he's so amazing, he's so wealthy, disciplined, ambitious. What does that do to me if he's not taking care of me? Georgina could have been beautiful, smart, whatever, but not taking care of him, not taking care of the kids. Why would he love her? He loves her because of the value and the comfort and the ease and the peace that she brings into his life. Why do you love another person? Because they're so smart for themselves? I can appreciate your smart, your intellect from afar for yourself. But I don't need to love you for that if it doesn't add benefit to my life. And one girl commented, may this love never find me. May what never find
you? It will
you?
Never find
me. لحظة. May what never find you? Cristiano Ronaldo? In the peak of his wealth, fitness, he made Georgina what she is. Now, it's not to take credit away from her. She took that blessing and she became a beast in her own right. But what a power couple. May what never find you? Women are their own worst enemy. I will stand by this till the day I die.
If you ask any of those women what she wants from a man, she will automatically, almost on auto, gives you a long list of all the things she wants a man to do and be and. Which is like society made it normal for women to expect.
Oh, yeah, and have a list of demands.
And have
standards.
A list of demands and standards when it comes to look and shape.
But
and
men height. Can't.
But men cannot. Mm-hmm. That's a reversal, by the way.
It's insane. It's insane. And you'll see it clear as day. And the way they justify it is so... I'm like, do you hear yourself? How can you look at Cristiano and Georgina now? I know people might say, yeah, but they had kids out of wedlock or now he's getting married. It's a different culture and different. That's fine. I don't care for that. Do you know what I mean? But how can you look at that and say, may this love never find me? Mind you that Baba Cristiano Ronaldo claims his woman very publicly. The way he looks at her, the way he talks about her, the lifestyle that they lead. Everything about him screams, Georgina is the one for me. What is it about this that you're like, may this love never find me? What, as a single woman behind
that's
the screen?
That's not enough for her, because if you go and check her list of demands in a man who will never come, and God forbids if he ever fall in this trap, he will go through a black hole of misery till he exits from the other side.
But I don't understand. This is what blows my mind. I don't understand this concept of... Women are, I don't even know how to explain it. This concept of you don't love someone for what they offer you, you love them for who they are. That makes no sense to me.
Well, ask women to do that for men. Then.
But that makes no sense to me.
It doesn't Baba, make any sense.
Baba, we really need to break this down. Because I want these girls to understand how ridiculous they sound. Now, mind you, men have a lot of issues when it comes to love, but I'm talking about what I've seen from the women right now. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say.
You know, when you have very little to offer, you change the norms.
No, but he's supposed to love me for me, but not what I offer him. I don't understand this. Why would I love a man for just who he is if it's not in benefit of me? In the sense of like he's using his intellect to help me in life. He's using his discipline to create very beautiful circumstances for me to be able to raise a house and kids. Like, I don't understand.
What I'm going to say is not going to go well with most women.
Yeah, okay.
There is this delusion that being sold to you that each and every one of you is so unique that there is nothing
like her.
We've
said this a million
her.
Times.
Nothing. There is no repetition of her. That's she deserves the most because she's so unique. The reality is none of you, none of us is unique in that sense. The area where you are unique, really, it's the area which has been completely ignored by all
and,
of us.
And compromised, 100%. 100%.
And thrown to the
wolves, 100%.
The rest, what is there, is very, very common.
Yeah.
Average look, bad mannerism, extreme expectations, difficulty to deal with.
A little bit of a hoey lifestyle.
A lot of delusion, which is... And a long, long, long list of impossible demands.
You know what? Mind you, even without the hoey lifestyle, it brings us back to the women rating themselves a 10 out of 10. And people got so angry with me when I said, no, I would rate myself a 6 at best, because the way I see it in my mind, it has nothing to do with looks or how amazing or unamazing I think I am. To me, it's the margin of error I allow myself. Number one, to handle my failures with grace, because we are all sinners and we are all here trying to navigate and become better, right? So I allow myself that margin of error where there's so much room for growth. I haven't even experienced everything I'm going to experience. I haven't even made all the mistakes or accomplished all the accomplishments that I will. So I allow myself that margin because to me, it gives me hope to look forward to the future, to everything I have yet to achieve and discover about myself. And women lost their minds because to them, it's like, no, I'm a 10 out of 10. And every single time I've seen a woman rate herself a 10 out of 10, she's usually single in her 30s. And when I ask her, why do you see yourself as a 10 out of 10? She's like, I think I'd be a great partner and I'd be a great this and I'd be a great that. And that might as well, it might be fine and that. It might be. I don't know. I'm not a man. I haven't been your partner. But no one's picking up what you're putting down.
I know. If you think you are 10 out of 10, you are a big hype of trouble.
You think so?
Of course. Of course. Because...
From what I've seen, with the people I've seen, yes.
This puts you in a place where your value is exponential.
Yes.
This puts you in a place where you are supposed to be demanded and you're supposed to be offered everything just for your acceptance. This puts you in a place where everybody and everything is beneath you.
Yeah.
And there is nothing in you for correction.
No, but they don't see it that way, because they'll be like, no, I'm a 10 out of 10 and she's also a 10 out of 10.
And we are all 10 out of 10.
And like, I don't understand why we're single. And I'm like...
You see, if you cannot use a concept, if you cannot understand the concept, then do not use it. If you want to scale anything, it means that you're comparing it to a certain norm.
Makes sense.
If that concept is so complicated that you cannot understand it, it's beyond your intellectual ceiling, then that by itself shows that you are not a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
You are actually very inferior when it comes to intelligence. Because that is comparison. That is comparison. Like in cars, how would you compare a Corolla to a Lamborghini?
Okay.
Like, am I insulting anybody? A Corolla is a very, very good car for somebody like me who cannot afford anything more. But maybe a Lamborghini is not your car because you can afford something like Bugatti, for example.
Yeah.
You're so rich. You can do that. But now we can see the comparison and we accept it. And it's part of the social norm. It's part of the mechanism of money. My money buys me a Corolla. Your money buys you a Bugatti.
I understand.
So that's the concept. If you cannot understand this.
Okay. Can I also say something else? Because this is something I told you. I'm not going to mention any names. But I was somewhere with a friend. And there was someone sitting at a close by table. And we overheard the conversation. And it really opened up a deeper conversation that I had with you. I overheard someone sitting in what seemed to be a date. And she took this haughty attitude of, I'm a 10 out of 10. Why would I accept a dusty, crusty, some loser son? And she was like giggling and laughing, which if you have to tell someone you're a 10 out of 10 and your standards are great, then you're not a 10 out of 10 and your standards aren't great. You don't tell a man, I'm a 10 out of 10 and this is my standard in a man and this is what I expect and this is how I implore you to treat me. You don't tell them, you show them. It's the way you behave. It's what you tolerate and don't tolerate. You give them the benefit of the doubt. The second you start to see red flags or, whoa, I'm not being appreciated the way I deserve to be valued as a woman of God, you remove yourself from the situation quietly and gracefully. But you don't sit in front of a guy and go like, I'm a 10 out of 10 and I have standards. And why would I tolerate like some dusty loser with no money? Number one, you come off as very condescending and low class. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, you're talking about people. No matter what.
And it is in the eye of the beholder. You can title yourself. You can value yourself. You can put any price tag on your head. Like we, if you dealt in real estate, you understand. Overpriced real estate, just stay. People will come, visit and go.
Yeah.
Check and go.
Yeah. But do you understand what I mean?
I understand. I
find it very interesting that women have fallen for this trend of my standards, my value, what I'm worth and what I'll tolerate and no dusty son's going to come near me. Sure, that's all fine and dandy, but why are you saying it out loud to the man you're dating? Like, if you have to remind someone your value, You're in the wrong room.
You are in the wrong room. This, the value does not come through brainwashing.
No,
value
and it doesn't does come through telling through. A man, this exactly. is my worth, and then live up to it. You hold yourself with such dignity and grace, and you observe quietly. He levels up, he stands up, delivers, khairu barakah. He doesn't, you move on. With your head held high, without fighting, without stooping to an argument, without raising your voice, without insulting, without begging for approval and validation and attention. That, to me, that's the difference between a genuine high-value woman and a woman who's just regurgitating these feminist stupidity that I see online.
A high-value woman, in my simple understanding, is a woman that understands what a partner wants.
So elaborate on this, because you said you've rarely ever seen women who know what a man wants. I agree. I don't I don't think I know what men want.
It's a basic, simple mental dilemma. As women, you are emotional creatures, and you're most of the time into your feel zone.
Sure.
And if you talk to any woman, she would say, I feel more, 10 times, maybe in a long conversation, she might use, I think, once or never, because the thinking is kind of comes after. I need to feel my feelings.
Sure.
Now, this,
I see what you're saying.
This creates a barrier
between reality.
Yes.
And what you think is yes. the situation.
And The problem with feelings is they justify themselves.
And they change.
And they change.
And they evolve.
And they evolve. Mm-hmm. But they kind of justify themselves. And if I feel this way, I think most people around me feel the same way. It's something that a woman and a child shares. It's something from childhood, from the child brain that stays with a woman.
Yeah.
But it's actually a survival tool, and it's a very important tool, and she needs to have to know how to use it properly.
Absolutely.
And I'm not asking that her to change that. I'm asking her not to fall a trap.
It. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
to fall in the trap of just now.
Morticia.
I had an incident where I tried to mediate between a friend, a very close friend of mine, and his wife years ago.
Ah, okay. I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And when he sat with me and told me what is wrong, it was just a brief 2 minutes, and it's clear. I sat with him a few times. And I couldn't get it into the lady's brain that this is what he wants. She kept on coming back with a long list of all the things
she does for him.
She does. And I'm like, nobody's negating that. Nobody's saying this is not happening. But have you ever asked what he wants? And just the simple act of or suggestion of such a proposal seems to trigger a lot of violence and anger.
In women?
In that lady.
Oh.
Like he's supposed to take what I'm giving him and he's not supposed to think anything else. And he's not supposed to demand anything else. And he's supposed to be just grateful.
Yeah.
Because I am doing this and this and this and this. But at the same time, if you ask her, what is he doing? Nothing.
What do you mean? What is he doing for her?
Yeah, nothing.
She says that nothing. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah. He just leaves the house and come late.
Because he's going to work?
Yeah. It's an excruciating job that enables him to provide for a very big villa, 2 cars and 3 children
yeah.
in some of the most expensive American schools back in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But all what he does is he goes outside and he comes late and he's not present in the morning because I am the one who does this and this and this to the kids. Yeah, but you have maid. More than one. Provided by his work also. Now, all of this, the only thing she could focus on is that he is absent all the day. As if he is out in
the clubs.
Yes. See, this is where emotions take over. We don't want to see the simple realities and live to them.
Mm. I understand. I understand what you mean. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's and you see again and again this huge wave of enabling this wrong, this imbalanced norm.
Yeah.
To be validated, to be accepted, to be the norm.
I really, really rest my case when I say, well, I really believe women are their own worst enemies. I really do. I really do. I think I've seen the worst of what women have to offer, and I've seen the best in today's society, and the worst so far has really been a lot more potent and a lot stronger and abundant than the good. The good that I've seen is divine.
Alhamdulillah.
But in maybe two women.
Inshallah, much more. Inshallah.
I have to give Sara al-Khatib a shout out because she's such a beautiful soul.
Inshallah,
much more. And Dania. My girlies, love them. But no, but what I've seen, the viciousness that I've seen come out of women is beyond demonic. And then it's so interesting because they'll tell you, you have the right to your own experience and you should, this is your opinion or this is your experience or this is what you've been through. But then I'll say something like, women can be so vicious and so demonic and so envious and so jealous, and they'll think that I'm painting a brush of all women. No, but I have had some horrible experiences with women, Baba, beyond horrible, where they will go out of their way to take what you have, not because they want it, simply because they don't want you to have it.
Yeah, this is, you see, the extreme of the human nature is this found in both.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
but it's easy for us to talk about what's wrong with men.
But we're, yeah, so you're allowed to say everything that's wrong with men, but if I want to say about something that I've seen that's wrong with women, because for so many reasons, from propaganda, from media, from what feminism has poisoned us with, and I'll say something like, I've seen women be horrible to me or to one another, and I've witnessed some demonic stories, and like I said, it's not that she's jealous, it's that she's envious, and she wants to take away what you have, not because she wants it for herself, simply because she doesn't want to see you be happy. The concept of seeing someone else happy short circuits her brain. And I do think that women can be so vicious and so aggressive, and especially when it comes to gossip and reputation, that's their arsenal of choice, right? But I'm not allowed to say this. And it's not me painting a brush that all women are horrible. I've seen some gorgeous, divine women. But one in a million, the majority is not so fine and dandy and great. But I'm not allowed to say this. They'll deem me as a pick-me or all these horrible things, or as a misogynist or a woman-hater or whatever it is. But it's so easy in the same breath to say, but not all men, but always a man. I'll tell you what, not all women, but always a woman. There's always a woman in my comments. Always.
As humans, we need to understand and we need to be fair to each other. We need to understand that.
But fairness comes from objectiveness.
Of course. Where is it going to come from?
Yeah. Well, that's not going to happen with so many emotions. Dad, I'll say something as simple as the four wives. Let's go back to the four wives, shall we? The four wives. The lovely, lovely four wives. Okay. When I spoke of the four wives, I in no way was telling women, be quiet and tolerate it. Absolutely not. You are entirely within your right to not want to be a first, a second, a third, or a fourth, and to be in a fully monogamous relationship. And if a man does it behind your back, he is going against what the Quran deems. He's number one supposed to let you know and ask for your permission. And we're forgetting the most important thing, is that in the Quran it says if you can be just between them, and it is almost, if not definitely, an impossibility. There is no way ever that I will tell you, baby boo, be quiet and tolerate it. Absolutely not. And you are entirely within your right not to. But I was talking about the beauty and the adab behind the four wives and why the Prophet ﷺ did it during a time of strife and of war and of taking care of orphans and widows with children with no way to benefit or take care of themselves. It was a very specific time. And I was saying, if a man is able to do so today, which is not possible because it's so rare to find such a man. And what blew my mind even more was the people in the comments saying disgusting, vile things, like he can marry her without penetrating her. As if you're just saying women have no needs. They don't want to be hugged, to be cared for, to be taken care of, to be asked, how are you today, to be taken out on a trip. As if marriage in its essence in Islam, not the way it's been twisted and turned now, doesn't provide protection, honor, and inheritance for a woman. We've twisted everything to fit what our ego wants and doesn't want. No, you don't have to tolerate four wives. And 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, I'll tell you, don't tolerate four wives, because he's doing it for all the wrong reasons. But I'm saying, in rare exceptions, with something that has nothing to do with you, why it is allowed and what God decreed from us in Islam. Because the book, our Quran, is not for my ego and what I want and what suits me. It's, there is a rule for what suits others, and there are rules for what suits me. That's the beauty of the moderation and generosity of Islam. It's for everyone.
Like yeah, this overreaction, as if it is something that you have to go through yourself.
As if I told them, when I talked about the four wives and the example of during a time of war, and if you're a rich man and you want to go take care of an orphan or a widow, as if I told every woman, go be a third, fourth wife. Absolutely not. And never will I ever say such a thing. And never will I ever want to encourage the men, go get 3 and 4 and 5. If anything, it's the very select men in the comments who are like, it is a luxury, not a luxury and a responsibility, and I know that I wouldn't be able to handle it, so I stay away from
it. You see, this door cannot be closed because it's a heavenly door.
Exactly.
And it's there for a reason.
Exactly.
Now, it doesn't mean that you have to go and enter from it.
No. It doesn't mean it's your right.
But who you are to go and negate it and say it's wrong because I don't like it.
But did you see the comments of...
Alhamdulillah, I'm not moved with them. I just, most of the time I don't even read them. But you see, the idea that higher concepts of faith, or higher concepts, higher godly concepts, have to come down to your own myopic understanding to be accepted.
Because your ceiling of understanding is where we all need to stop at. You understand this much of Islam, so we need to all stop here. Your limitations.
I remember an incident when I was in my 30s then. And I was asked a question in a gathering. And to my best of knowledge, I answered. And a younger man sitting jumped suddenly. And
I know the story, yeah.
And told me, no, you're wrong, this is not true. And I actually took it back politely because I thought he knows something that I don't. And I said, it is not true. Then tell me, correct me, why it is not true. And his answer, with a full egotistical look in the face and like that confidence, I never heard this before. And I said to him, his young, newlywed wife beside him, and I said, and now you made knowledge stand at the ceiling of your ignorance?
Yeah.
Like that, which...
Yeah. What you know and don't know is the ceiling.
It's the ceiling of knowledge.
We stop here.
Yes.
Insanity.
And that can apply also in the ceiling of understanding. Because these things you do not understand. You may not understand it for the time being.
This is why I said I don't negate what I don't understand.
Exactly.
I ask for guidance and I pray for understanding. And this concept seemed to skip all over their heads.
If you see how you learn through your life from childhood above, there is a sense of faith. You accept what the elders tell you, you accept what your father tells you, you accept what your teacher tells you, and take it as right. You have to. What could you do?
Yeah.
Because you cannot go and
yes, but then you can grow older and you can maybe
exactly.
Grow a set of balls and go do your own research. Maybe dare. To unlearn what's been shoved down your throat. Maybe dare.
Yeah, but that's the path of accumulating knowledge.
Yeah. But it was so interesting to me. It's so interesting how people degrade certain concepts in Islam to their limited knowledge. So some of the comments really blew my mind, especially this concept, like, do you see women as women, do you see women in grief-stricken areas or genocide-stricken areas that I gave the example, like, do you not see them as women, as a full woman who has needs, who has wants, who has joys, who has pains, who has desires, who has dreams, who has ambitions, who has sexual desires, who has physical, emotional... Do you not see them as a full, multidimensional creature? Because they don't, based on the comments that I've seen. Because to over-sexualize men... It really blows my mind, you know what I mean? And I've seen people leave comments about Islam saying, like, it's just sexual. And I'm like, that's insane. How do you read this holy book? And that's what you focused on. That's more of a, that just shows me more how hedonistic and vile and degrading you yourself are. It's not the book. It's you.
If, let me say something. If men only wants the sexual part out of marriage, then it's much, much easier and cheaper not to marry. Yeah. And it's been all since...
But I will say, it's why I also said that the way marriage was intended in Islam. Marriage in Islam was intended for protection, for rights, yes, for inheritance. For back in the day, you couldn't cheat on your wife or beat her. A tribe would come for you. And it's because of how lax and how... Sheikh Hamza Yusuf said this. He said, we Muslims are losing our dignity. We used to have this adab, this ta'zim, this understanding that God sent us things for our benefit. And when used right, we would be an unstoppable nation.
I will talk to the Muslims before anybody else. If you really want to understand your religion when it comes to the woman and to the value of the woman and to the rights of the woman, go study what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi al-kiram came up with and our holy book came up with.
Absolutely.
And compare it to the time, or to that time, how women were treated all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
isn't it true that the Prophet alayhi salatu salam allowed inheritance for women, allowed us to own our own land, allowed us divorce? These things happen, but no one wants to talk about this.
No.
They don't want to show the mercy and the beauty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They want to show him as a warlord, as all of these crazy things. But do you know what I've learned? And this is something that Shahid Bolson opened my eyes to. When they ask about disgusting things about war or about if Sidna Aisha was of a certain age, it's because they themselves are looking for an excuse to justify hedonistic behavior, and they want to use us as the gateway to that, when it is not true. It is simply not true. We were the most merciful, the most understanding, the most feminist of religions. The most. We are a perfect religion. I'll go to my grave saying this.
There is a beautiful hadith where a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi complaining that she doesn't want her husband.
Yeah.
And he was crying like a baby, the husband.
Nobadiya, I want
so
her.
Much in love with her. And she said she cannot stand him.
Okay.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi al-kiram, he tried again and again to amend between them, and she refused. So he told her, ruddi alayhi hadiqatahu. He gave her a garden.
A garden. Give it back to him.
Give it back to him.
Tamam.
And then...
Be on your merry way.
Be on your merry.
Okay.
That's when a woman... Now, we are not talking 1,400 years ago. Just few decades ago, in Europe, a woman was given to her so-called husband through total arrangement. She's not even asked.
Yeah.
The bik is done through the... Especially in aristocratic families.
Yeah.
The bik is done by the family.
Marie Antoinette was given to... When she was 8, when she was a child, she was betrothed. Like, khalas, when they're older, they'll get married. She was married at 14.
This was the norm. Women did not have an inheritance, did not have the right to buy or sell things. Just...
50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago.
No, almost 100 plus, in 18 something.
But in America, in the 50s, you couldn't get a credit card alone as a woman?
Yes, in the 50s, you couldn't get...
That's what I'm saying, not even 100 years ago.
Yeah.
But Baba, subhanAllah, we were talking about this on the drive here, how some people are raised to see humans as nothing. certain caliber or certain races or certain ethnicities as nothing. And you'll see it, like, even masalan in Israel, the way you say, you see it, like, gone.
This technique of dehumanizing others is being used all
yeah, history. Throughout. So that's what I'm saying. Back then and now, like, it's just crazy. But also, whose fault is it? Is it the fault of the parents who raised you this way, or you for not growing up and seeing the truth? I don't even know.
It's a communal fault. It's everybody's guilty.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we saying?
I was talking about ruddi alayhi hadiqatahu.
Yes.
See, so he.
So give him back his garden, and then you were saying not on a couple years ago. You just said some lady was promised to someone.
Yeah. That is 1,400 years ago. Okay. A woman could divorce her husband because she doesn't like him. That's the only justification she gave.
But can we talk? Yeah, sorry. Continue. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not saying even at the same time, almost a millennia and a half after.
Okay.
Women in Europe didn't have any of those rights.
Absolutely.
And then you have people attacking us and attacking our religion as we are retarded.
Yeah.
It's just ignorance and prejudice.
Absolutely.
And you Muslims, just go study the norms at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, what he came up with. And there is the norm of the rest of the world. We do understand that things went wrong here and there. But it's your job. Now it's your...
But can I say something? I agree. It is your job, which is why I always say Imam Ali alayhi salam said, do not inherit your religion.
No.
I agree. But based on what you're saying, I just want to say something about divorce in Islam. Okay? Because I've had very interesting conversations with people that have left me a little bit like, whoa, Allah ya'inak aha, like how did you even get here? You know? But people really misunderstand divorce in Islam. It's been sent as a mercy to us. And when I say us, I'm saying the collective us Muslims, both the men and the women. You just gave the example of a woman who divorced someone during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, simply because she didn't like him. Now, is that an abuse of the power of divorce? It is. But it's also a mercy to the man. If a woman wants to divorce you simply because khalas, she doesn't like you anymore, God has given you the out to maybe potentially go find happiness. But it's been sent as a mercy to both men and women. Now, should we abuse it and over? If you enter a marriage with the concept of divorces on the table, you've already lost.
You see, if you study this, the story very well, first of all, nobody told her, but you accepted him first, and you accepted to take his garden for marriage, and now you want to... No. Since you accepted him, and you accepted his gift for this marriage, and now you're saying we want to get out of it, give him back his gift.
That was yes, I understand. But what I'm saying is divorce in Islam is very misunderstood. You should never walk into a marriage with divorce on the table or in the forefront of your mind. You're setting yourself and your spouse up for failure, and vice versa with your spouse. But it's been sent as a mercy to all of us, because men have the right to want to exit a relationship if they've been unlucky in love or in this partnership. And with the woman, it's such a mercy that you can now leave and have always been able to when Islam started. But people abuse it.
It is a mercy that's been abused like all other mercies.
Yeah.
Like we are not an exception, Baba. In our own societies, divorce is like 70% it's running of rampant. All marriages.
Yeah.
And again, you know that almost 80%, 70 to 80% of those divorces is initiated by women.
I know. We've talked about this, Dad. I think we need to wrap up. But I wanted to talk about the lady in America. I told you.
Tell me.
There's this lady in America who is basically doing this test on people. Not test on people. What's it called, Bubba, when you do a sociological experiment? Is that what it is? Okay. So... Basically, there's this lady in America who's running this sociological experiment, and she called, I think it's upward of 30 churches, if I'm not mistaken, and she was playing the sound of a baby crying. And this is just a test. hi, I've run out of baby formula. You hear the baby crying in the background. Is there any way you guys can give me money or give me baby formula? Something along those lines. I think it was 27 churches that said no. And it was 3 African-American or black churches that welcomed her with open arms. And there's a mosque in Charlotte that she called. The man was basically putting his shoes on, about to run to her. Mm-hmm. Hayil baby formula. And it has caused chaos in America, because everyone's waking up to, whoa, the kindness of these Muslims. And then go through the comments of people saying, but this is part of our 5 pillars of Islam, is to help people in need. And then the shock of like, wow, and they're actually living by it. People talk to us as if we're retards.
It is actually one of the pillars.
It is.
But zakah is not only that small amount of money.
No, zakah is yes, but when you take zakah in general, I know zakah is like a certain percentage of what you had and you have to give it to a Muslim in their right mind. I understand. But when you see that giving back in a specific scenario is one of the 5 pillars, it automatically makes you want to give back in general. We are just a giving people by nature, as we should be.
Sayyidina al-Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was writing to one of his army leaders.
Yeah.
His name is Malik ibn al-Ashtar. And he says, Ya Malik, I'm going to say it in Arabic. I might not say it exactly. Okay. Ya Malik, innama an-nasu sinfan. Imma akhun laka fi al-deen. أو نظير لك في الخلق أخ لك في الدين
a brother
أو نظير means equal to you in creation, so he made everybody else equal to you. And equality means what? You cannot harm, you cannot do injustice, you actually need to even show charity and support and zakatu.
But didn't he also say, and there's a part in his letter where he says, and to treat them how you would want to be treated?
No,
there's a
no, no.
Yeah.
No, no. Alhamdulillah. To be biased and unjust is a human.
No, but do you understand the chaos that this one woman calling up churches and mosques for baby formula, it's running amok. People are shocked and converting to Islam and but it's so interesting, because I was talking to Shireen, my sister, about this. She's like, they don't even know us. They're so quick to judge and describe, and they don't even know us. And it's so interesting because there's this Christian trad wife sort of influencer who spoke up after Mamdani, and she was like, I have a huge following on Instagram that's Muslim. And I was thinking, do I speak up about them? And then she's like, I don't care. They get aggressive and violent with how I need bread, like her followers in general. She's like, so I'm going to say, first of all, Christ is king, and we don't want Islam in America. And I was just like, baby girl, I'm right behind you screaming Christ is king. That's Muslims are right there with you saying Christ is king. And number two is, you don't even know anything about Islam. And it blows my mind, because I grew up in Jordan with Sunnis, Shias, Christians, Orthodox, Catholic alike. Never once have I heard anyone say, I wish this religion wasn't around. Not once. Not once. Not a whisper of it even.
Alhamdulillah.
Not even a sense of, oh, this is Masihi, we don't go near them. Oh, that's a Shia, we don't go near them. Not once.
Alhamdulillah. Baba, who's my closest of my friends?
Me.
Outside you.
You have friends?
He came even to Jordan one time, and we went to
Aslam?
From India.
Abhai.
Yeah. What is his religion?
Hindu?
Nah.
Yeah. 2 peas in a pod, mashallah.
I mean, I know him, I know his family, I know his kids. He came, visited me a few months, he's coming again. I've always seen him as a very close spiritual guide. And I'm okay with that. Imma akhun laka fi ad-deen aw nadhirun laka fi al-khalq.
Yeah, her name is Savannah Faith Stone, this influencer. I'll call her out. And it's funny because she follows me, and I'm like, but I'm Muslim. But why are you? What are you doing
here? The funny thing is,
I still like her despite what she said. You know why? Because I gave Candace Owens the benefit of the doubt at first, years ago. I gave her the. I was like, she'll get there. There was something about Candace where I was like, she'll get there, and she did. I'm very happy. I was patient.
Alhamdulillah. When I used to go to India, and take him with me, and I go visit those kind of holy places, yeah. Indian mosques and shrines and so. And everybody around would think that he's converting. And when they had occasions in their temples, I would go with him. Like, please, come, I would go. And everybody would think that I'm becoming a Hindu.
Yeah, crazy.
like, it's funny how people always...
Extremes, they jump to conclusions. They just want you to be me. Yeah.
They're like, everybody wants you to be him to be right.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to accept you the way you are, and you're still right.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, we have to wrap it up. Did we cover our bases?
Inshallah.
All right. Love you, Daddy. Thank you guys so much for watching. Daddy, thank the audience. They're here for you.
Ya ahlan. Hayyakum Allah. Thank you very much.
Love you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yay.